Right. Well, I have on the other end of the telephone today a gentleman by the name of Emil Solanki. Now, he's in Toronto, and he's based in Toronto, Canada, at the moment, and works there. In fact, he's been based there for a little while. But who will you say is Emil to me? Well, I said to myself, who is Emil, and why have we got him on the air? Well, he's a very interesting gentleman. The family, Solanki family, all moved to Leicester in the 1960s from Uganda. The reason I thought we will have a chat with Emil and why he fascinates me is because he's involved in a very intriguing project, and it's a project about something called Kilava, a very, very important historic shipping vessel. And I won't talk any more about it because Emil knows more about it, and he knows a lot about this project, and he's going great guns with it. Emil, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Don, and greetings from Toronto, Canada.
How is Canada at the moment?
Well, you know, we're now in the fall. Winter is coming shortly. The weather has dropped, and we can expect minus 20 to 25 going into winter.
Yeah, well, we're not too bad here at the moment. We haven't seen any signs of winter so far. But we're not here to talk about the weather, although that might have had something to do with this particular project in 1942. But the Kilava 1942, The Forgotten Tragedy, it's not a Bollywood film title. Tell us what it is, Emil.
So Kilava 1942, it's actually the name of a ship that was built by the British Steam Navigation Company. You know, this particular account is a piece of missing Indian history. There are a lot of nuances and complexities. Actually, your audience in Leicester will be interested in the story because we have families in Leicester that were affected by the tragedy. It actually has that British Indian perspective. It represents the Indian immigrant story in the middle of the Second World War, when many from humble, modest means were trying to break free from village life and go to Eastern Southern Africa for new opportunities. Generally speaking, we might hear of Pearl Harbor, Lusitania, and the Titanic, and you know, they have much attention for a variety of reasons. But from an Indian perspective, we would say that Kilava is the Indian Titanic story.
Okay. So Kilava was the name of the ship. And what is the project all about?
So the SS Kilava was a passenger cargo liner built by the British India Steam Navigation Company in 1924. It was named after a Burmese port and was in use for about 18 years. Its traditional route was from Mumbai to South Africa via the Seychelles, Mombasa, and Maputo. It would end in Durban, and passengers were mainly Indian nationals looking to offer their trade, labor, and investment opportunities on the continent of Africa.
What happened to this?
Yeah, so this is where the forgotten tragedy starts. On November 20th, 1942, about 5 p.m., the ship left Mumbai for South Africa. There were 222 crew members, 732 passengers, 9 lifeboats, over 6,000 tons of cargo, which included 60 tons of bullion. A couple of days later, on November 23rd, in the early hours of the morning, 930 miles northeast of the Seychelles, there was an attack on Kilava by the Japanese Imperial Navy. It was actually the I-29 submarine that twice torpedoed Kilava. There was a gap of approximately 60 to 90 minutes between both attacks. We're told that the first officer actually transmitted an SOS message on his way down, and I'm actually trying to get a copy of that transcript. But anyway, for the next 2 days, all aboard would be fighting for their life. Not everybody could get onto one of those 9 lifeboats. We have survivor accounts of people vomiting on an empty stomach, hanging on for dear life, being bitten by random barracuda and shark attacks. And eventually, HMS Birmingham and SS Carthage did come to the rescue a couple of days later. And 280 people sadly perished, and 682 people were rescued. 678 were actually taken to Mumbai on November 27th.
Why is this story of particular interest to you?
This is the connection to Lester and to my family, Don. My great grandfather, Nichabai Chibabai Solanki, was on board SS Tilawa. And his first cousin of Lester, Devji Bhai Bhagabhai Solanki, actually survived Tilawa. So, you know, from our family's perspective, you know, Nichabappa sadly lost his life. He was probably in his early 20s at the time, was survived by, you know, his wife and one child, my grandfather, who was 9 years old. And you think about it, back then, people had, you know, a dozen children, and yet he only had one. And if it wasn't for him leaving that one child, I wouldn't be here talking to you today. So you can understand why, you know, his legacy and the impact that it had on our family is of great historical significance. The sad part is, for many years, we had no idea he existed. We didn't even know he was our great-grandfather. You know, it became a bit of a taboo subject amongst our extended family. What had happened was, my nine-year-old grandfather was adopted by his beloved uncle, who took him to East Africa to start a new life. His name was Vallabhbhai Chibabhbhai Solanki, just a beautiful human being who did so much for our family and raised my grandfather as his own son. But what had happened in 2007, my father, Kash Kumar, who is a radio broadcaster at Subhas Radio, was talking to my grandfather one afternoon and said, "Hey, by the way, who's that gentleman in the cabinet there?" You know, it was a random photograph. And my grandfather said, that's my father. My father's thinking, "What? My grandfather is, you know, Vallabhbhai." And so my grandfather goes on to explain the whole story, this dark family mystery. And, you know, that's really how it started. You can imagine when my father, for the first time, saw the original passenger list of SS Tilawa on the internet and saw Nichabappa's name on there. I mean, that was quite a moving moment. And the last time I saw my grandfather in Leicester was in July 2012. And his final request, quite adamant, if I may say, and cute in another way, to find the ship and to find the location of his father's body.
And that was your trigger point to get involved in this project?
It really was, yes.
So tell me, how did you go about it? How did you know where to start?
We started, as most people would in, you know, in modern times, on the internet. And there was a group of gentlemen in South Africa who actually set up the SS Tilawa Foundation. We do owe them great gratitude for the research that they started over 20 years ago. And they were the ones who were able to locate the passenger list. They had put out a newspaper article probably in 2007, was able to get their phone number and reach out to them. And in addition to that, my father and I started putting, you know, the pieces of the puzzle together. And I actually created a website, tilawa1942.com. Your listeners are able to go on there, and it's become quite a comprehensive library of Tilawa and our search for answers to still many, many questions.
So, I mean, we want to take up a lot of time now talking about all the details, because, as you say, our listeners can go onto the website. But tell me, what is the next thing that's going to happen with this project? Because I know you're working very hard to have a kind of a finale of this.
2022 is a special year for us because it marks the 80th year of the SS Tilawa tragedy. So my father, out of the kindness of his heart, is hosting a commemoration to memorialize the loss of life. It's going to be in Mumbai this month. And the reason why we picked Mumbai is interesting, actually. Tilawa would leave the Ballard Pier, the Ballard Estate in Bombay, for the final time. And the passengers were all brought back to Bombay. And the hotel, the Grand Hotel, was in usage at the time of the Second World War. So we just thought, you know, British Indian history, Second World War, 3 years before the war ended, 5 years before, you know, independence from British rule. It's just the perfect iconic spot for this historic occasion. And you'll be pleased to know that the Deputy British High Commissioner, Mr. Alan Gemmell, has accepted our invitation to be the chief guest. To answer your question with the commemoration program itself, we found, in addition to the six families in South Africa connected to Tilawa, four others in the UK. One of them is the last known survivor, Mr. Arvind Bhai Jani from South London. Again, you will not believe this. He was about 10 minutes away from the house I grew up in, where I used to play cricket and go to school. And he's been there all this time. He has booked his flight. He's 83 years old. He was 3 years old when his mother wrapped him in a sari and jumped into the lifeboat. So he's coming with his wife and daughter. We will also have some other families from the Midlands whose grandparents were on the Tilawa ship and found our website. And this was like the first opportunity for them to hear about the story. So the commemoration will have some interviews. It will have some pre-recorded messages from those that cannot attend. I will provide a keynote address, and we're hoping that there'll be a press conference in Bombay as well. You know, we have limited spaces, but of course, you know, if we can accommodate, we would love to have any family connected to Tilawa. This would be their story. So please do reach out to my father, Kash Kumar, at Subris Radio, our website, tilawa1942.com. More the merrier. And again, this really is a historic occasion, and it belongs to the Indian people in Leicester and all over the world.
Well, tremendous Leicester connection, as you mentioned already. Not only your own family, but another family that you mentioned earlier. What an intriguing story. Interesting. I will have a very good look at the website as well.
Yeah.
It was great speaking with you.
And yeah, you too.
Once again, you're doing a great job, mate. Well done.